As we get ready to spend some time in the Old Testament, we got ready for that by way back in Advent, reading the Old Testament text, and I'm going to continue that then for this first Sunday of the year, reading from Isaiah again, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Our outdoor Christmas lights are still up, as I hope many of you will see when you visit our home this afternoon. I thought by now they might be the only Christmas lights up in our neighborhood, but at least two or three of our neighbors had theirs shining last night anyway. Christmas keeps its place in a society that has largely ceased to believe in or acknowledge its religious roots. And one reason may be that it is celebrated with great displays of light. Whether it's the candles that illumine a service like ours on Christmas Eve or the gaudy displays on those big houses up on McLean Boulevard. How many of you have seen those? If you haven't seen them, drive up there. I don't know if they're still up there up now, but get it next year if you missed it this year. Anyway, at this time of year, people love light. It's dark outside, starting around Christmas time at 4:30 in the afternoon and lasting until almost 8 in the morning. Even daytime feels dark when it's cloudy and raining. It's good to have some light shining in that darkness. We celebrate our Lord's Epiphany in this season because there is worse darkness than the mere physical absence of light. When Isaiah spoke in verse 2 of darkness covering the earth and thick darkness, the peoples, he had in mind a spiritual dimness, a lack of light in the hearts and souls of men and women. The prophet wrote of that darkness in the previous chapter, 59, beginning with verse 9. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us, he said. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like those without eyes. He explains in verse 12 that he's speaking of sin and its effect on our minds and hearts. To do wrong and go our own way without God is like horrible, unrelenting dark with no flicker of light to offer relief. Isaiah wrote at a time when he could see thick darkness covering the world in the events unfolding around him. The black cloud of enemy armies was on the horizon. Weak and foolish kings of his people would try to escape the hands of cruel conquerors, but nothing would save them. The Assyrians and then the Babylonians would tear Israel to shreds and scatter the pieces across the land. It was a dark and troubling time to be alive. As we enter 2018, it appears to me that darkness is gathering force once again. For the first time since my childhood, nuclear war seems a live possibility for our world. Insane gun violence continues to take hundreds of lives in our country. The number of prominent men revealed to be sexual predators is staggering. And the homeless population on our own community streets just keeps growing. And darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. Near the end of their Christmas letter, Adam, a young friend of ours who teaches at Wheaton College, said, "I wrote last year, under the pall of the dark turn our nation's history had recently taken. Times are not much less dark now, we think." I agree with him. Now, you're probably thinking this is pretty depressing for the first Sunday of the year. You would be right. It reminds me of conversations Adam's father, Jay, and I had in college as we sat sipping tea and playing chess. We would get so wrapped up in the sad state of affairs in the world that we would finally laugh at ourselves. Here we were, young men with our whole lives ahead of us, talking like the jaded old codgers we actually are now. But those depressing college conversations made us both realize, I think, how crucial Christian faith is. Were it not for Jesus Christ, I doubt we could have laughed so easily. Adam wrote, "Times are not much less dark now, we think, but we are grateful for God's grace at work in our family, church, and community." Isaiah wrote in verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." As our Christmas Eve text from Isaiah 9 told us, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus coming into our world is a brightness that dispels the gloom in which we find ourselves. Isaiah predicted that the Lord's light appearing in Israel would bring the world to them. Verse 3 proclaims, "Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." And so it happened. The kings came. The Magi first saw the great light as a star rising in the east, as we heard this morning. Their study of the heavens and prophecy led them west to find the kings, the king heralded by the star. In our gospel reading this morning, we heard how they came to worship and bring gifts to the little boy Jesus. And so Isaiah's prediction in verses 5 and 6 was fulfilled as the camels of the Magi carried the wealth of foreign nations, gold and incense, into Bethlehem. It's a tiny suburb of Jerusalem. People still come to God, who is shining forth in Jesus Christ. We are here this morning because we've seen His light and want to come and worship like the Magi did. We are still finding His light in the darkness and discovering hope when all seems bleak. As I said on Christmas Eve morning, we keep coming back to worship like people returning home. Jesus is the light, guiding us safely to the home God has for us. There is more to the story, though. The opening words of our text teach us that all is not done when you and I have arrived at the light. The prophet saw the light dawning on Jerusalem, but he pictured another shining as well. The ancient city itself was to shine. "Arise, shine," he told Jerusalem, "for your light has come." Getting home does not end our responsibility. When my wife and I are both out during the day and one of us comes home toward evening, we have a kind of unspoken understanding. The one of us who gets home first will turn on the porch light, or this time of year, all those Christmas lights, for the other one still to arrive. That light glows out into the dark with the message that home is there and a welcome is waiting. The people of God come home to His light, but we are also meant to shine with that same light, welcoming those who have not yet arrived. Everyone who has believed in Jesus Christ is called to arise and shine, to turn on the light for the rest of the world. We realize, of course, that we have little light to offer from ourselves. You and I can scarcely begin to tackle the darkness in ourselves, much less the darknesses I named a few moments ago and all the others that went unnamed. Our faith and hope is that we can rise and shine because the light of Jesus Christ will shine through us. I remember when fiber optic cable got pulled through the ground in our old neighborhood in Springfield. I was so thrilled at the prospect of our house being connected to high-speed internet that I almost went out, almost, but I didn't, and hugged the guys digging the trench. I still marvel at how fiber optics work, piping light for miles along tiny flexible strands of glass to carry data from one place to another. Now, it's not exactly how it works, but it's almost like the bright pixels on my screen can land on yours and vice versa. Those cables carry light that's full of information, messages, pictures, sound, video. Christians are meant to be fiber optic cables for the brightness of Christ. All the hope, peace, love, joy, and faith he brings to us is vital information to be transmitted to the world through our lives. We don't make the light. The grace of Jesus comes to us as a gift from God. Verse 2 goes on, "But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. It is his light, but we are the channel, the pipeline, by which that light is sent on to appear to others." This is the call for you and I, for Valley Covenant Church in the year 2018. Get up and glow with the light of Jesus Christ. Our community, our world is waiting for that light, which we can shine for it. People are looking for that porch light to guide them home. How can you and I turn on that lamp and guide them there, guide them here? In 2 weeks, as I said, we'll gather for our annual business meeting. My prayer is that part of what we'll talk about is not just how we can take care of ourselves, meet our budget, all that stuff, but let's talk some together about how we can glow this year. To whom can we reach out? To what ministries in our community shall we put our resources and energy? To which dark corners of our world can we shed a little light through support of mission? And even maybe going there ourselves, like some of you have already done. Yes, the times are dark. Our nation is divided, and our world even more so. But times have often been dark down through history. England's Civil War in the 17th century was one of the darkest times in the history of that nation. English soldiers fought against English soldiers over how the country would be governed and by whom. Christians fought against Christians over differences in belief and practice. When it was over in 1651, the nation remained deeply divided. A commonwealth had replaced the monarchy, and a cruel and vicious man named Oliver Cromwell, who called himself the Lord Protector of England, was in charge. He banned Christmas as a pagan festival. Those who remained loyal to the old ways and to the monarchy were oppressed and persecuted. Loyal royalists would eventually win the day and restore a king to the throne in 1660. But in the meantime, one of those loyalists did something else instead of fighting. He had a little chapel built at Staunton Harold in Leicestershire. It was one of only a handful of churches built during that time. It still stands. An inscription above its west door reads, "In the year 1653, when all things sacred were throughout the nation either demolished or profaned, Sir Robert Shirley, Baronet, founded this church, whose singular praise it is to have done the best things in the worst times, and hope them in the most calamitous. The righteous shall be had in everlasting remembrance." The best things in the worst times. Cromwell's petulant response to Sir Robert's building of his chapel was to ask him why he could not pay for a ship for the Navy when he could afford such a fine building. Sir Robert was arrested and imprisoned in the Tower of London, where he died at the young age of 27, before the chapel was finished. That church, where people continued to do the best things in the worst times, was finally completed by the guardians who held the estate in trust for Sir Robert's young son. I'd like us to be a church like that. People who do the best things in the worst times. Bright, shining, glowing people who do not give up their faith and service no matter how dark it is. If all goes horribly wrong and missiles are launched, 2018 might be the worst year the world has ever seen. I pray with all my heart that it is not. But even without that catastrophe this year will be hard for some people, for some of us, I imagine, maybe even for our church. It may feel very dark out there. On our Covenant Facebook group, some pastors have talked about how the new tax law will affect giving this year and beyond. The raising of the standard deduction takes away the tax advantage of charitable donations for many ordinary people. Will that mean that churches and other charities see less income now? It's hard to say. But as Gary said at our Bible study Friday morning, we will need to give to the Lord now for good reasons, for the real reasons, not just because it gives us a tax deduction. It's a chance to deepen our faith and commitment as Christians, to glow in the darkness. It is in dark times that Christ shines brightest. As John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's in the dark that you and I can really shine for Jesus. We can light the way for each other, and especially for our friends and neighbors. Christmas decorations will come down, but the light behind them is always glowing. May you and I also glow with that light. Amen.